from the Buick Studios, this is News Radio 830 WCCO.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Chad Hartman Show on News Radio 830 WCCO. I'm Natalie Kane, filling in for Chad, who's got the day off, and the weekend off, in fact, taking a little time around the holiday season. Very nice for him. I'm from WCCO Television. Just walked a couple blocks on over here from the morning show and holding it down all the way through to 3 p.m., and I'm not alone. We've got Carter. We've got Dan Cook. We've got Brendan in here. We're having a lot of fun. On to hour two. 1 hour done, two to go. Top of the 1 o'clock hour, actually, we're sitting at 1:10. I found a really interesting article. I want to share it with you guys. There's a curious vocal pattern that has crept into the speech of young adult women who speak American English. I'm going to just go ahead and have an audio clip played first of Kim Kardashian, obviously very popular person these days. Listen to this and let's talk about what we hear in her voice.
Hey guys, there's no reason why your phone shouldn't be as glamorous as your shoes. Get your glam on with me and my glam squad.
Okay, hear those low creaky vibrations? That is called a vocal fry, and it's a new trend in women speaking, especially in the teen 20s and 30s. Let's hear another one. Do you have Zooey Deschanel?
During the show is probably the long hours, but it's really fun. So it's actually a pleasure to spend that much time at work.
All right, now that we've pointed it out, the vocal fry, you are going to start noticing it everywhere. But there's a little bit of psychology behind this. There's a reason that women are doing this. And it's not just, these pop culture figures, I guess you could call them. Also professional women. Let's hear, this is a professional that she's a president of a company or a CEO of a company. Listen to this. This is a video we pulled from YouTube of the vocal fry.
I've been on the job about 3 months now, and I thought I'd tell you a little bit about what we're doing. First, we're focusing on outreach, both within our industry and to our communities and stakeholders. We're emphasizing the economic, energy, and environmental benefits of natural gas.
So now that you've heard the vocal fry, that's kind of it right there. And I've even noticed it in some of my speech. We're going to talk with an expert right now. We have Cheryl Moore Brinkley on the line. She's an expert as a voice and speech and communication skills coach of Be Vocal LLC, which is a company based here in Minnesota. Full disclosure, I've actually worked with Cheryl before on vocal training. And, hey, Cheryl, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, Natalie.
Hi. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure. I'm delighted to be able to talk about this issue.
Well, when I called you, Cheryl, I said, or when we emailed, I said, you know, have you heard of this thing called the vocal fry? If so, do you want to talk about it? And when we spoke, you said, it is my mission to do away with this. Can you just first explain the vocal fry from your perspective as a voice and speech expert?
Right. And first, I want listeners to know, Natalie, that I am not a speech-language pathologist, but I am an expert in this coming from performance studies, from the discipline of theater, where those in theater get this kind of voice and speech training that the general public doesn't often get.
Mm-hmm.
The vocal fry, put it simply, is when we stop supporting the voice with any breath or energy and drop it down to just sort of gargle on our vocal folds or vocal cords. It sounds like that.
you referred to it as a really funny thing. I think you said the lazy rich girl.
Oh, yes. This is something that is being attributed to a certain character type. Now, that's not true, but this is what's coming out of pop culture and responses to hearing so much of it, and is called, like, the bored rich girl.
Yeah, the bored rich girl.
Okay, let's go downtown.
I'll take a double shot in my coffee. I have to be honest, Cheryl, I've even noticed myself doing it as I speak. I kind of hear, sometimes I'll drop my voice like this. At the end.
Everyone does. It's when it becomes the dominant pattern, and most people simply are not aware of that at all.
Why are people speaking this way?
Well, You say this is seems like sudden. It seems like sudden to have all these articles and interest come up about it, but, you know, it's reached a kind of tipping point. When it comes into this much popular notice, it means it's been going on for some time.
Sure.
But it is now a trend, and I've been noticing it for a long time, at least 20 years. And in my experience working with women particularly, although men are not immune to this, it used to be the issue was uptalk, trying to be so pleasant and upbeat. Hello, my name is Cheryl Moore Brinkley, and I'm here to talk to you, where everything sounds like a question.
Mm.
And young women coming up got savvy to that to a degree, and they started paying attention. Educated young women started becoming aware of their image, trying to make it in a male-dominated workforce. So what happened, and my colleagues have noticed this too, and I have noticed it in my experience, that what happened was they said, oh my gosh, if we want to be leaders and managers, we can't sound like girly girls.
Mm.
We can't just talk in our high notes because no one will take us seriously. And what happened was they started to emulate a male pattern, which is using only the lower notes of the voice and pulling it back inside. All those things like I'm going to play it close to the vest and, you know, keep it under wraps. I'm not going to give away my emotions or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, the woman's vocal instrument is not that low pitched. So when we do something unnatural with our instrument and force it down into a place and then don't know how to support it or get that out, it's not good, it's not healthy, and it really stresses the vocal cords. So the impulse to start doing that was to try to get ahead and sound competent and confident in a male-dominated workplace. But in fact, now it sounds weak because it's not energetic, it's not passionate, and it very much limits the speaker's ability to be expressive and to reach out and affect people with some resonance, some warm vibration. That's all taken away by this pattern. It's very limiting, and many listeners find it abrasive or annoying.
Mm-hmm.
The other part of it is it drops off and we can't hear the end of a sentence, which usually contains the most important information. How many times are you willing to play back a voicemail to get those last two digits of the phone number?
Twice, and then I give up.
And then you give up, so do I.
Right now we're speaking with Cheryl Moore Brinkley of Be Vocal LLC. She's an expert in voice and speech and also communication skills. She's a coach. I've worked with Cheryl. She's fantastic. I've taken a lot of things away, and I have a long way to go, but I definitely have had some lessons with you, Cheryl. So right now we're speaking about this trend called the vocal fry, and that's when women don't support their voice at the bottom and in the bottom registers let it kind of fall down like this. And Cheryl, you were just saying what the perception is of using a voice like this. You can't get out the most important information at the end of the sentence. You don't sound assertive. And do you think that's kind of where the whole boredom aspect comes out of?
Yes, and yes, that's the perception. And there is another aspect of that that I deal a lot with in my coaching, which is when we're sending out our voices, we should be sending them out consciously so that another person can get it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is our communication connection. That is a relationship connection, and it's actually physical touch. If we're starting our voices, we're vibrating the air, it goes into the bodies of the listeners, it goes into the ear and vibrates inside the body. It's a form of touch. And when I give my workshops, I refer to the fry as if it were touch, it would be the equivalent of scratching at someone.
That's kind of what it feels like.
Yeah, it feels that way, and it's scratchy in the throat. And over time, vocal cords are muscles. Anything that's used in a very stressed way over time, you know what happens in your body. If you constantly hold stress somewhere, you lose flexibility, and it eventually can, long-term, cause some damage.
Now, Cheryl, in one of the articles that we read over, historically, the continual use of the vocal fry was classified as part of a vocal disorder.
Oh, well, and you have to address that from a speech-language pathologist point of view. And yes, because after a while, if that's the only way the voice is being produced like this,
mm-hmm.
eventually the speaker gets limited to those sounds.
Mm-hmm. Now, what ages are we seeing this vocal fry being used in, and why do you think that is for these? Well, I'll just say it's pretty much in younger women.
Right. And as you mentioned at the top of the broadcast, up into 30s, I have seen it. I think it's for the reasons I said. The women who are in their 30s and even early 40s now who are doing this have really been trying to succeed in the male-dominated workplace.
Mm-hmm.
In the younger women coming up, it's a way of communicating that makes they feel more confident. They feel less vulnerable because they're not being as expressive. Now, those trends have been affecting men in our society for years. And the new emotional awareness in the workplace, I have many male clients who come feeling trapped, like, why can't I be more expressive? Why aren't I a dynamic speaker? It's because they've been limited to just talking in a few notes and talking down low and not reaching out. So it's not limited to women.
Mm-hmm.
You're hearing it a lot more in young women because it's becoming prevalent in media.
Cheryl, we have to take a break, but when we come back, I would love if you would share some tips with our listeners on how to emote and express more using the voice and how to stay away from getting into that vocal fry. That would be wonderful. Okay, so Cheryl, we'll put you on hold, and we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have more with Cheryl Moore Brinkley. She's a vocal coach, a vocal and speech expert, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to News Radio 830 WCCO.
Live from the Buick Studios, this is News Radio 830 WCCO.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Chad Hartman Show, noon to 3 p.m. weekdays. I'm Natalie Kane, filling in for Chad, who has the day off. Jad or Chad? I think it's Chad. That sounded like Jad, didn't it? I think I need some vocal coaching. speaking of, before the break, we're speaking with Cheryl Moore Brinkley of Be Vocal LLC. She's an expert as a voice and speech and communication skills coach. We were talking about this trend or this fad in women's speaking, and it's this lower register called the vocal fry. And when they drop down low, it's basically trying to assert themselves. And it's it backfires, in my opinion. I think it does just the opposite, wouldn't you say, Cheryl?
Oh, I totally agree. Yes, it undermines a woman's power and leadership potential in the workplace.
And you also said right before the break that this isn't something that only affects men at all, or women. It also affects men.
Absolutely. And it's affected men a lot longer, but because they have generally lower pitched instruments to begin with, it's been perceived as just the male way of talking. But it's limiting. It limits expression a great deal.
How can you break out of the vocal fry if this is a habit you've gotten into, or perhaps that's the way you've been speaking your entire life?
You might be, if mm-hmm. a young person. First, it's important to know that you said before in the broadcast, Natalie, that this can be a disorder. And if someone comes to me, the first thing I'm going to do is ask them to go through a few little exercises. And if they can make healthy sounds with the rest of their voice, then we're fine, and I can definitely help. And if they can't anymore and only fry is present, then I'm definitely going to send them to the U or Park Nicollet or somewhere to have medical attention on that.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things is we don't get this training in school. The English, as it's taught in most schools nowadays, is taught as a written language. And unless you had in public schools an English teacher who had some theater training or some great singing or forensics training and brings that into the classroom, there's nowhere in your life, or if you had parents who were voice teachers,
mm-hmm.
there's nowhere you get trained to learn how to play the instrument you're born in, your body and your physical voice. So we do the best we can. Everybody's doing the best they can, but not conscious about it at all. So the first thing I do is teach awareness about the instrument and how to generally play it. But for our listeners out there, you don't have time to get all the training right away. The first thing you can do is hum.
Mm-hmm.
Humming is the most therapeutic thing you can do for your voice. It warms up the chords. You hum up and down your pitches. Pitch means high and low of your voice. And that vibrates your chords and gets them healthy. The correct way to hum is lips together, teeth apart, and not in your nose. So if you feel your lips vibrating, you're good. You're working on placement that's not in your throat where the fry is. You're getting the voice ready to move and healthy, even if you have a cold.
Mm-hmm. And what's interesting about this, too, and of note, if you're listening and thinking, well, how does this apply to me? Anyone who's communicating at any point in the day, whether it's answering your phone, speaking with your boss, or speaking to thousands, this is important.
Oh, absolutely. You wouldn't jump in your car in Minnesota in February at 20 below and expect it to go 70 miles an hour without sitting there for a minute.
Right.
To warm up.
Right.
Or you wouldn't go to the gym and attack heavy weights without a stretching warm-up period. If you did, your body's going to tell you right away you're in trouble. It's the same with the voice. And yet most of people will, you know, stumble out of bed, get to work. Their stress signs already on everything they have to do. They have some coffee, very hard on the courts, by the way.
Guilty.
Drink dehydrating.
Mm-hmm.
And they pick up the phone, and in their stress, they're just like, hello. And they haven't warmed up the voice. And I don't know if you remember this from the training we did together, Natalie, was that little tip I give my clients to say, when the phone rings, take a breath. Take a breath and let it out to relax, and then take a breath in so you have some fuel on which to speak that first hello.
Mm-hmm. One of the most interesting things that you taught me in the few lessons we have, and I look forward to lessons in the future, is that the last thing you want to do is obscure your voice in any way as it tries to get out, whether that's holding it in your chest, the sound in your chest, in your throat, or in your nose, or even not supporting it. Thank you. And so that was one of the things I really took away, is let your voice be free. Take a deep breath, do some humming, and then just let your voice get out the way it wants to get out.
And if you also remember, the best way out is to open your mouth.
Right. And we don't like to do that in the Midwest. We like to hold it in.
It's cultural. It's cultural. We don't want to let a lot out. We would rather smile politely. And that's fine. It comes from a really lovely impulse to be pleasant. But we do need to open the mouth to let that sound out. And I urge everyone to think about giving your voice out to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about you. It's about them. Give them information. Mm-hmm. Or give them your feelings. Or reach out to them. That means you have to send the voice out of your body.
Mm-hmm.
If you see me now, I'm doing that gesture with my palms up, open, reaching out to people. And that's what we want to do with our voices, is to make a connection.
Mm-hmm. Cheryl, thank you so much for speaking about the vocal fry, this kind of phenomenon, and then also kind of sharing with us the best way to communicate properly. We'll post a link to your website, Be Vocal, on our Facebook page. So if folks want to get in touch with you, if they have any more questions, or they can always text us at 81807, and that's powered by Home Service Plus, an offering of CenterPoint Energy. Cheryl, I'm never going to do the vocal fry again.
Well, don't be hard on yourself.
I hear it every once in a while, and it's one of those things now, anytime you hear it, you're going to notice it.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, there it is. All right, Cheryl, thanks again. You have a great weekend.
Thank you, Natalie. It's been a delight.
Likewise. Okay, coming up next, we are going to talk about the Holidazzle. This is the last weekend, and tonight is WCCO Radio Night. So we're going to bring in none other than the man, the myth, the legend, John Hines. He is the Grand Marshal. We'll talk to him next. You're listening to News Radio 830 WCCO.
Live from the Buick Studios, this is News Radio 830 WCCO.
Do you like the song I'm playing for you on my xylophone? Isn't that nice?
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show. This is Chad Hartman's show, noon to 3 p.m. I'm Natalie Kane filling in for him today. I come from WCCO Television. Join us weekdays, mornings, 4:30 a.m. if you're an early riser, to 7 a.m. Turn to Channel 4. Let's talk about this. What an honor. Tonight is WCCO Radio Night for the Holidazzle Parade right here downtown Minneapolis. Very exciting. This is a very special year, the 450th parade, hard to believe, of this weekend, actually, rather. And right now we have Jenna Johnston from the Downtown Council here to talk a little bit about Holidazzle. Jenna, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Natalie. How are you?
Wonderful. Long time no see. I haven't seen you for a while.
I know. Well, and, you know, you did Grand Marshal here a few weekends ago, so... I'm sure you had a great experience.
I did have a great experience. I admitted earlier in the show, actually right around noon or so, that was my very first Holidazzle. I'm ashamed because born and raised in the Twin Cities, but my first experience was incredible. Yes, we were the Grand Marshals, but really it is an incredible parade. So for those who haven't ever seen it, first of all, it's free. But Jenna, what can they see?
Absolutely. So, you know, Target Holidazzle is all about the lights. Lights, lights, lights. So if people have not had a chance to come down to downtown Minneapolis, the parade runs through this Sunday, December 18th, and it runs on Nicollet Mall. So we start at 12th Street, we end up 4th Street. It is an outdoor parade, so we do suggest that people bundle up for the weather, although we're supposed to have some nice weather this weekend, which is fabulous.
Yeah, so, that is fabulous. Perfect for parade watching.
Perfect for parade. But yes, we feature over 13 floats in Target Holidazzle. And over 350 total characters. So
wow.
All of them are illuminated, which makes it even more fun.
Yeah, it really is beautiful. I think fun for all ages. And it doesn't last all that long. How long would you say start to finish?
Yeah, it's approximately 30 minutes. I mean, that definitely depends on where you're standing along Nicollet Mall. But the parade itself lasts approximately 30 minutes. So we're not keeping people outside too long, just enough to, you know, enjoy some festive lights.
How did this even start?
It started actually back in 1992. There was a group of downtown leaders that really came together and really wanted to show off downtown Minneapolis. They really wanted to bring families downtown, show off its vibrancy, the uniqueness of the city. And, you know, a lot of ideas were really tossed around. I was talking to Todd Klingel, formerly with the Minneapolis Downtown Council, who was one of the Holidazzle founders.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually was saying that they originally wanted to flood Nicollet Mall, and they came up with some really kooky ideas, but, you know, the one that we're really thankful for is Target Holidazzle. And so that was a tradition that stuck. They originally were thinking one large parade, but for logistics purposes, decided to kind of spread it out over a few different evenings. And so now, today, we're in the 20th season, and we're featuring 15 total parades this season. Only three of them left, actually, this weekend.
That's incredible. And which parade is the mascot parade?
The mascot parade is actually this Sunday, December 18th, and the mascot parade is going to kick off the 450th total parade, so quite a milestone for Target Holidazzle. And we will have a number of mascots that people will recognize from the community, corporate mascots included, that will be smiling down the parade route and waving and interacting with all of our fans.
And there's also one mascot tonight.
That'd be me.
That
Hi, Jenna.
Be
how
me.
Are you?
John
Hi,
Hines.
John. How are you?
I'm doing grand. I have had the chance to be in the Holidazzle Parade, I think, many, many years, at least the first dozen or so years that it ran. And I, by the way, on Sunday night, too, you mentioned Todd Klingel, and along with Stu Wittes and a couple of the other founders, they're all going to be the Grand Marshals that night.
They are going to be the Grand Marshals. It's just a great way to give thanks to, you know, the people who really made Holidazzle happen. And so we are featuring them as our Grand Marshals, so they will be directly following our mascot parade.
And I am filling in for Michelle Tafoya this afternoon, and then since this is WCCO Radio Night,
absolutely,
I'm going to just get off the air and run. to the intersection of 12th and Nicollet where the parade begins, and climb on board that first float for the Grand Marshal.
Do you have your wave down, John?
It's old news.
Okay, tell me, how do you address the stress of being the Grand Marshal? You have people on your right, on your left, then the skyways every block. How do you do it?
You do a lot of this thing where you point.
Yes.
You know, like, hey, hi, how's it going there?
Do you do the I know you point?
Well, you do some of that. You do some of that in the parade, too. But it's surprising, though, and I'll bet you found this when you were doing this, mm-hmm. how many people actually
yes.
do know you.
Yes.
And then you see people that you recognize as well.
It was pretty fun.
It's a little difficult because the light is shining in your eyes when you're riding on that float. Now, Jen, I have to ask, because a friend of mine over the years has provided a lot of the original music that makes up that parade. Mike Gansmo, yeah. who is a part of Macy's, he's created some of that music on board. Is it still the same song for the first float?
It sure is, John.
Dot, 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 dot,
dot. Oh, my gosh. You're bringing back memories already for me, and I've only done it once.
You can hear the trumpets, I'm sure.
Sure.
Yes.
You'll hear them for weeks to come.
I am. Oh, yes, I am.
No, it is a great fun opportunity, and tonight is going to be a mild night. Saturday is going to be wonderful. And as you mentioned, the Sunday is going to also be just a delightful evening, Natalie. So
yeah.
hopefully a lot of folks will come down. And just line the curbs, and it's easy in and out, and it's a fun time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's a parade that stops for the lights.
Absolutely. We actually time the parade so that we make the lights. That's kind of the science behind the parade, so that people can still get in and out of downtown very easily.
Well, Jenna, congratulations on another successful year with Holidazzle, the Target Holidazzle. What time does that start tonight?
It starts at 6:30 p.m., and you want to get there early so you can see John as he's the very first unit.
It actually doesn't start until I get there.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
well, we'll shoo him out of the studio once his show ends so he can make it on time.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, thank you guys so much, and we hope to have your listeners out there this evening and the rest of this weekend.
They'll be there. Thanks, Jenna.
Thanks so much. Take care.
John, let me see the wave. Come on.
Sure, I can do
that. That's good. Okay.
Because I was also, a part of the Aquatennial. I was an Aquatennial Commodore for the year 2007, so no shortage of parades there.
Would you call yourself a parade expert?
No. There's no such thing.
Okay. Is it listed in your Facebook profile as one of your interests?
No.
Parades.
No.
Okay. So
no.
I don't know how seriously you're taking this, then,
no,
John.
No, it is. I'm very enthusiastic about it. People come out and they have a good time. And who doesn't love a nice parade?
You're exactly right. Now, do you wear any lights? Or is it just the float?
No. Same as you. Just on board. They're the light shining on you. And just waving and greeting. And I didn't even, knowing how nice it was going to be, I didn't even bother with the longies, putting on the long underwear.
Wait, what are longies?
Long underwear. Tell me you own some long underwear.
Well, I do, but I've never called them longies. I love it.
What do you call them?
Long underwear.
Oh, okay.
Actually, cozies.
Cozy,
sometimes
all
I call
right.
cozies.
A little insight there.
Yeah.
This concludes the lingerie segment of the broadcast.
TMI? So. All right, John,
I'll
thanks
see you
so
a little
much.
While.
All right, we'll see you, John. You're going to be coming up, filling in for Michelle Tafoya tonight, starting at 3 p.m. this afternoon. Thanks again, John. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. You're listening to News Radio 830 WCCO.
We like to think there's more to the show than we can fit on the radio. Get more Chad Hartman online. WCCO.com/Chad.
Wow, Dan Cook dropping a beat. I like that.
That's how I roll.
That is how you roll. Natalie Kane here filling in for Chad Hartman. This is his show, normally, from noon to 3 p.m. Thank you so much for joining us today. I come from WCCO Television, just down the block. We're right downtown Minneapolis. It was so nice to be able to just walk over here, let me say that. Although it is quite chilly outside, if you haven't spent any time out there, it's about 24 degrees right now, but not to worry. This weekend, we are going to be warming up a little more. Or maybe you are worrying because you want it to be cold and you want the snow and you want a white Christmas. Sore subject? Sorry, Dan.
No, it's not sore. I just don't understand it.
Okay, well.
Sorry.
Do we want to go there again?
No, I think we did that.
We don't want to fight in front of the kids.
Nope.
Okay, thank you. Time to talk Timberwolves. The lockout is over. Thank goodness. Now, typically, preseason games start in October, and we would be full swing into the Minnesota Timberwolves schedule right now as we approach mid-December here, but we're not. We're at the start of our season. So it's time to talk Timberwolves. We have our first preseason game, a home game tomorrow, and that's going to be at the Target Center, 6 p.m. pregame. 7 p.m. is when the tip-off is, and that's versus Milwaukee. And then we've got the home opener on the 26th. To talk a little bit of Timberwolves is the president of the organization, Mr. Chris Wright. Chris, are you there?
Natalie.
How are you?
It seems so strange.
Doesn't it? Chris, a little history. I've worked with the Minnesota Timberwolves, or had worked with the Minnesota Timberwolves for a total of 10 seasons. I started as a dancer, transitioned into the in-arena host, and this is my first season not with the Wolves. Sad.
And you look so good on radio.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I wore this outfit just for you.
There you go.
Yeah. So, big season coming up here, Mr. Wright. First of all, we've got Ricky Rubio. Secondly, we have Derek Williams, a high draft pick, and among many other players, the return of Kevin Love and many others. What is the sentiment around the organization? Because I know in the community I'm feeling the excitement.
Yeah, I would say that the excitement starts inside of our organization, but it's absolutely out in the community, Natalie. It's, you know, all of the signs are going north. You know, ticket sales are up, corporate sponsorships are up, everything is trending. So, you know, it's a wonderful situation for our franchise to be in, and it's amazing what two or three player moves can do.
Mm-hmm.
And with the addition of a very, very experienced new head coach in Rick Adelman, the eighth winningest coach in NBA history, you know, what happens in a market like ours, the market's been waiting for us to put a product on the floor for a number of years now, and it appears that, you know, that product is really starting to come together. So we're very, very excited.
Now, obviously, you had a lot of time that you weren't anticipating having within the organization without games. What did you guys do as far as the organization is concerned, not on the player side? What did you guys do during the lockout?
Well, I mean, we're very good scenario planners. I think we're pretty good strategic planners. But, you know, when you're going through a situation like that, you decide that, you know, what are the different scenarios that might play out? One of them is a no-game season. One of them is an 82-game season. And then there is something in between, which we've ended up with. So, you know, we sat down, we put plans together for different scenarios that may or may not have played out. You know, we had a 50-game plan, and obviously it ended up being a 66-game plan. And now here we are launching a season, you know, right after Christmas, when normally we'd be launching that season sort of at the beginning of November. But we're just excited to get back in the saddle, as it were, to get Timberwolves basketball back on center court at Target Center and get things rolling the day after Christmas.
We're speaking right now with Chris Wright, president of the Minnesota Timberwolves. First preseason game at home is tomorrow at Target Center. The opener's on the 26th. Actually, you can hear all of the games here on WCCO Radio, the official home of the Minnesota Timberwolves. Now, Chris, can we talk a little bit about how this season was built, being that it is an abbreviated season? Are you still going to get those big games?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. The scheduling gods really sort of looked down on us. The formula under which games were put together were, obviously the Western Conference pretty well takes care of itself, other than you have some opponents coming in for two games and some opponents coming in for one game. We were fortunate enough to get the Lakers twice inside of our arena, so that worked out very, very well. But the really idiosyncrasy this year around scheduling was every team was not going to get six of the Eastern Conference teams in their building. And so, you know, driven by television, we thought that, you know, we might struggle a little bit to get Miami, Boston, Chicago, New York into our building. But, you know, fortunately, we got all of those teams playing through our building, and we don't go to any of their buildings.
Wow.
You know, we start off with Oklahoma and Kevin Durant coming in here the day after Christmas, but then we have LeBron James and crew and the Miami Heat here on December the 30th, followed by, you know, the world champions Dallas Mavericks on the 1st, San Antonio come through here on the 2nd. We have a very, very busy start to the season, and all of those games, because they're over the holidays, with a lot of people coming back, you know, to spend time with their families, are going very, very well from a sales standpoint. I would say that, you know, probably by the middle of next week, both the home opener and the Miami game will be completely sold out. and Dallas is trending very, very well.
That's amazing. All right, Chris Wright, thank you so much. President of the Minnesota Timberwolves, best of luck to you guys and the entire organization this season.
Hey, thanks, Natalie.
All right, we'll see you on the courts. Also want to mention there's an open scrimmage at Target Center Monday. It's going to be this Monday, December 19th from noon to 1 p.m. This is great because it's free and anybody can come. So it's completely open to the public. It's your chance to see the entire team at work with a new coach. You've got a high draft pick. I believe that Derek Williams was a second overall draft pick. We've got Ricky Rubio, who is going to be there in action, among Kevin Love, who will be back. It's always fun to see all those guys on court. So if you want to get a preview of the Minnesota Timberwolves Monday night, and then we're going to have the home opener right here on WCCO Radio 830. That's going to be on December 26th. All right, when we come back in our final hour of the Chad Hartman Show, we're going to talk a little bit of what's happening around town in the Twin Cities with Tom Horgan from the Star Tribune. We'll be right back. Our 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 Tribune.